violent protests in Ethiopia's Amhara region. Plans to integrate local military forces into the national army and police have sparked a backlash. The government says the change is essential for national unity. So why is there such opposition, and does it risk instability? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Tom McRae. Protests have been held for days in Amhara against government plans to merge the region's forces into the National Army and Police. Ethiopia has yet to recover from the war in its Tigray region that ended last year. Thousands of people were killed in a conflict marked by widespread human rights abuses. Forces from Amhara fought against Tigrayan rebels alongside the National Army. But since that two-year war ended, leaders in Amhara have accused the government of ignoring violence against ethnic Amharas in the neighbouring Oromia region. They believe if Amhara's forces are absorbed into the National Army, their communities will be left open to more attacks. We'll be talking to our guests about the wider implications of all of this in just a moment. But first, Fintan Monahan reports on days of violence and protests against the government's plans.
Plans by Ethiopia's government to unify the national military and police have sparked a major backlash. Protests have been held in the Amhara region. Many people want to ensure forces there stay under local control. Outbreaks of violence have been reported and restrictions imposed in some cities.
Ethiopian government that insists there won't be any kind of compromise in terms of ending the special forces in which the Amhara regions as well as other regions have benefited from in the past. They've said it's against the constitution of the country and they're going to fight them and they're going to put them under the Ethiopian forces, the national force. There doesn't seem to be any compromise.
The government plan will apply to regions that use their own languages and have their own fighting and law enforcement groups. But many in Amhara accuse the federal government of ignoring attacks on ethnic Amharas living in the neighboring Oromia region. They say losing local control of forces will leave them unable to protect themselves. Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed says he's determined to see the plan through and will take what he calls appropriate law enforcement measures to make it happen. Tensions are growing and many fear confrontation may prove difficult to avoid. Fintan Monahan, Al Jazeera.
Okay, let's bring in our guests now. In Addis Ababa is Kamal Hashi Mahmood, member of the Ethiopian Parliament. In Harrisonburg, Virginia, is Atana Dinka, Assistant Professor of African History at James Madison University. He specialises in political history of Ethiopia and Africa. Also in Addis Ababa is Desaline Cheney, Senior Member of the National Movement of Amhara, the main opposition party in the Ethiopian Parliament. A warm welcome to all of you. Thank you very much for being on Inside Story today. Desaline, if I can begin with you, can you just explain how large these protests have come and, I guess, the anger that's fueled them to this point?
Thank you very much for having me. So the protests were very large and it encompassed almost every corner of the Amhara region. So people are demanding the federal government to reverse the decision to dismantle the Amhara special forces because currently the Amhara region is faced with a lot of threats, security threats, especially from the Tigray People's Liberation Front, because over the past 2 years, there were three rounds of aggressions and war that was conducted by the Tigrayan People's Liberation Front on the Amhara and Afar regions. So unless the TPLF is disarmed and its soldiers are demobilized, it creates a security risk and a security threat for the Amhara region. That's why our people are opposing the decision to dismantle it, because it's untimely and because there was no appropriate consultations and discussions with the concerned stakeholders.
Okay. Kamal, when the Prime Minister made this announcement, was there any expectation that there would be a backlash like we've seen over the last 5 or 6 days?
Thanks. I think in terms of expectations, whenever you implement any plan, there's a probably that things might happen differently. We know that there's been a lot of negative topics moving around the media, especially people who are out of the region and who want us to, anyway, you know, always come against any plan that comes from the government. Even if the government is going to say this is the key to heaven, there are always people outside there who are going to come against and preach the people to come against government. But to be honest, in terms of government expectations, I would say this was a long-awaited solution for all Ethiopians. And it's all about reintegrating, you know, the security forces throughout Ethiopia, especially from Amhara region. And it believed that whatever clash is going on in some places of the country will really be solved when we have one strong, you know, national army, which is going to be run only under one, you know, chain of command. So in terms of expectations, I think I would rather say there is a lot of positive expectations because it was a demand from the community and something you do for the sake of the people. We always have a positive expectation. But I would think that there are people middling this very noble idea of, you know, having a very strong one army. That's what I said. But in terms of expectations, I think it would be more of positive expectations. But as an implementer, I think it might happen to be a different way.
Okay. Atana, if I can bring you in here, how worried are you, how concerned are you about what you've seen over the last week or so? You know, you've got both sides at the moment refusing really to take a backward step or compromise in any way. So what happens from here, do you think?
It's worrisome, but it's important to look into some of the merits on both sides first, because this conflict goes much beyond what both sides want to say in public, at least at this time. When Addis Ababa went to war with Tigray, Addis Ababa, under the leadership of Abiy Ahmed, built a regional coalition which even goes beyond the border of Ethiopia. Amhara forces, the regional special unit, and FANNO were key allies of Addis Ababa in invading or fighting against Tigray. Eritrea is another. Now, when Addis Ababa wanted to make peace with Tigray, at least with some concessions, Amhara forces went deeply angry. And the Amhara forces, particularly the nationalist movement rising in the Amhara region since recent years, are moving very fast and claiming a number of progress. But the problem is the claim coming from Amhara nationalism in the region seems to be unclearer in many ways. Particularly over the last several months, there has been voices that puts claim on power in Addis Ababa. Now, Addis Ababa itself claimed that Amhara forces want us to overthrow it using some violent method, and for this, it closed main highways leading to Addis Ababa, claiming that Amhara forces are sending forces underground to overthrow it in Addis Ababa. If you look at these claims, the claim of Addis Ababa on the other hand is that it wants us to restore peace in the country. It wants us to disarm every regional force. But the main intention behind disarming the regional forces, whether it is Amhara, Oromia, or many other regions, is to consolidate Abiy Ahmed's power in Addis Ababa.
Desalegn, we'll bring you in here. What's your response to that?
Yeah, as Itana is saying, the Amharas have no clear demands, but our people is clearly demanding that, although in principle, we support a national unified defense forces and a national unified army, we felt that this is a precursor, an attempt to give back Wolqayt and Raya for the Tigrayan administration. Our people is demanding that we should have a security guarantee. We should have a security guarantee so that the Tigrayan forces would not attack us for the fourth round, because as per the Pretoria Agreement, it was agreed that the TPLF fighters will be disarmed and demobilized, but there is no clear evidence that disarmament is done and there is no any demobilization. So in the face of this, disarming and dismantling the Amhara Special Forces is like leaving our people without any security arrangement or security mechanism against the Tigrayans. But also within the region, within the Amhara region, for example, Ataye was burned, the town of Ataye was burned at least 10 consecutive times, and the federal security apparatus was not active in responding for these threats. So our demand is clear. It's not to overthrow the government, but to be able to get a security arrangement that can protect our people.
I mean, the main argument seems to be that it will leave the region exposed to attacks by neighbouring areas, including the TPLF. But wouldn't a more unified national army actually be able to better defend against those attacks?
You know, over the past years, for example, during the past 25 years, the Ethiopian National Defense Force was dominated by the TPLF. The majority of leadership was dominated by the TPLF. During that time, the Ethiopian National Defense Force has never given effective security for our people. By now, the Oromo-led Prosperity Party is also dominating the Ethiopian National Defense Forces. So we believe that unless the national security structures are fairly represented and properly reformed, it's very difficult for us to consider them as a truly national defense force. So in the short term, at least, we need to retain the Amhara Special Forces that has effectively defended our people from the TPLF aggression, but also it has effectively kept law and order within the region.
OK, Kamal, I want to bring you back in here. You know, I guess one of the arguments is that the Amhara forces have actually been more effective against the TPLF rather than the government forces that have been that they've been fighting alongside. What's your response to that? The government forces have been rather ineffective over the last couple of years in fighting the TPLF.
Thank you so much. Before answering your question, I would like to say something on two statements that came out from my other panelists here. One is that the whole point of reintegrating this national security force is to increase or consolidate the abuse power in Addis. And the other is also the idea of dismantling the special forces in Amhara region. And the third is going to be the current national army is dominated by Oromos. Well, let's be clear here, and this reintegration of special forces is throughout Ethiopia. So let's not make it as narrow as the Amhara region only. And whatever process is going on, I don't think it means the whole Amhara Indo-Pacific nation. I'm sure that there are anti-government people or groups who really want to twist this agenda and make it look very negative. Mm-hmm. And speaking of the current army, there has been a lot of reform in the current army to the extent that it doesn't represent even any party, forget a nation like Oromo or Amhara or whatever you say. They don't even represent or any party. Like, you know, the standard way of having a national army where they protect the country and they protect the constitution, even if it comes to be against the army himself, they are able to be against, and that's the way they are formed, they are going to be shepherded. And I see my Dr. De Silence worry of that because they won't be fair to the Amhara region. I think what the government is saying is this is the special forces. If they want to join the National Defense Force, let them join. Forget what the calculation we have before, even now, in addition to the already existing number of armies that represent all Ethiopian nation nationalities. Those who are now going to be reintegrated and they are willing to join the National Defense Force, they are going to join there. They're not going to be thrown away outside there. So this, okay. This seems very good. And when it comes to the your last question of the Amhara special forces really contribute, yeah, they did contribute a lot in the fight against TPLF. But let's not forget that TPLF happened to come to the middle of the region, and it was all the Ethiopian nations and nationalities who joined together to make sure that TPLF goes back to the existence of the Tigray region, and at the end the war ended. So I don't think it's fair and it brings an importance to all Ethiopian nations and nationalities who really fought for the sovereignty of this country against TPLF to say that it was only, the Amhara forces who really had made this war, end and helped, the federal government win over TPLF.
Okay, I want to bring Atana back in. The Prime Minister, Abiy Ahmed, has insisted there won't be any type of compromise here, basically saying he will take appropriate law enforcement measures and vowed to press ahead, and I quote, even if a price had to be paid. Do you think that Ethiopia at this point in time is, the government's prepared to turn this into explode this into a larger fight?
Since he came to office in April 2018, Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed's drive is largely about centralization and centralization of power, not within his party, but in his own hands. And this trend is growing from time to time throughout Ethiopian history since the empire was since it was founded as an empire by the close of the 19th century. Despite regime changes, this issue of centralization lingers on in Ethiopia, and it's a larger part of problems in the country. So the attempts of Abiy Ahmed to centralize power by undercutting regional forces put him in confrontation with Tigray and led to a major war. It put him in confrontation with Oromo forces, and now Oromia is in another round of war. It put him with a number of regional forces, including with Gambela and Benishangul Gumuz, and now the turn is for Amhara. So the price that Abiy Ahmed claims, again, drags, no question, drags the country into another round of violence. But the point must be made here, even if Abiy Ahmed's government is not committed to disarm other regional units, there are enough reasons in place to disarm Amhara forces. Amhara forces have been accused by humanitarian organizations for atrocities they committed in Tigray, in Oromia, in Benishangul, and within their own region. The challenge Anne previously mentioned about the problem in the city of Ataye, and the main problem in the city of Ataye was caused by Amhara armed regional forces, including the special unit. Amhara regional forces were accused of committing crimes against the command and Benishangul within their region.
Dessalegn, just let him finish very quickly, and then I'll bring you in a second. Hold on a second, Dessalegn. Atana, just finish this point, and then we'll move on.
Yeah, let me finish this point. So the recent United States annual report on human rights called out Amhara regional forces for atrocities they committed. So from the perspective of Addis Ababa and international organizations, there are enough reasons to disarm Amhara regional units. And one dangerous point that usually comes with claims from Amhara nationalism, like both guests are putting down now, is the issue of Oromo domination within this government. If you count the key federal offices today in Addis Ababa, most of them are already taken over by Amhara officials, both in the army, the intelligence, the economic sector.
Okay. But Dessalegn, I'll give you a chance to respond to this now.
This government in the Oromo image, despite the fact that the Prime Minister and his colleagues never claimed to be Oromo, both ideologically and by origin. They always claim that they work for Oromo, but Amhara nationalists always want to make the Addis Ababa government in the image of Oromo because they want to mobilize their forces, their people against the central government in Addis Ababa. And this is a very dangerous move because it is a conflict against all. Say, Amara against Oromo. It's a dangerous precedent.
Okay, I want to thank you, Atana. I want to let Desaline respond to what you've been saying.
Number one, the town of Ataye was frequently attacked by the Oromo Liberation Army and its cells that are stationed in the Oromo special zone of Amhara region. So they have burned down Ataye for 10 rounds. Number two, regarding the Oromo domination, it is clear during the TPLF's domination, 90% of the major key positions within the Ethiopian National Defense Force was controlled by the Tigrayans. What the Oromos are doing right now is to repeat the mistakes that's done by TPLF, and by now they started controlling the key positions of the Ethiopian National Defense Forces. But let me come to the most important point. The most important point for us is that the Amhara region has a security risk, so that our people is demanding that until the current security risks from the Oromo Liberation Army and the TPLF are removed, we don't mind about the dismantling or the existence of other special forces. But for the Amhara people, the Amhara Special Forces has been the part and parcel of the key security structure. Also, I have to mention the fact that the Amhara Special Forces and other special forces are constitutionally allowed, because if you see the Ethiopian Constitution, Article 52, sub 2, it clearly stipulates the fact that regional governments have the power to organize their own police forces that can be able to provide security for their regions. So yeah. Amhara regional police controls the Amhara special forces. So if you see legality, it is allowed in the constitution, it's legal. But also the most important rationale is that unless the TPLF is disarmed and unless the threat from the OLA is neutralized, it's very difficult for our people to disband Amhara Special Force. That's why our people are resisting it.
Yes. Okay. Kamal, I want to bring you back in again. I mean, how much instability are you willing to risk over this issue? I mean, how much more violence is the country going to put up with? How much more can it take? How much more pressure can the Prime Minister be under before he has to, I guess, come to a negotiating table?
A democratically elected party is leading a country. So in this party, the national party that has all nations and nationalities, we have Oromos, Amharas, Somalis, and all nations in the party. So it is led by a party, not by some nation. And in fact, I see the challenge representing a party with the name Amhara National Movement. He is going to be one of the few parties that have the name of a nation. So in all government system, we don't have even a single party that is elected by the name of Oromo, where a government is led by a party through the system. And I don't think it's fair to say there's an Oromo domination. And a colleague telling me that in terms of ministries or office, I would rather be happy if he tells us this number of offices are led by Oromo or that. We have the legislative body, the executive, and also all the senior, I mean, the government bodies. If you see them, there's almost nearly equal division of power. I don't see any dominance. I would appreciate if they came up with a figure. Coming to your question of how far is the government ready? Well, to be honest, I hope I can only tell how far the government is ready for my understanding and observation. I cannot clearly represent the government, but I would say that the government is as ready as far as it is really implemented, because it's a very noble idea. It's something that all the regional presidents agreed to implement it. In terms of internal conflicts and casualties, we have these casualties in every region in Ethiopia. We have border conflicts in every region. People have been dying because of this internal conflict. It's not special to Amhara region. And people in Amhara region are only just misled. Once they understand that the positive outlook of this bold move, I'm sure they will soon understand it. What the government needs to do is, I think the government should give a lot of time to discuss with the people in Amhara region. because of a lot of displaced people in Amhara region, because of winters that happened in the past. I understand the Amhara people feel that kind of worry, and also that things may be worse. Yeah. I share that feeling.
We've only got a minute or so left. Atana, I want to finish with you. How is this going to be resolved, or are things going to get worse from here?
Thank you. One important point is the role of Addis Ababa again. The war in Tigray, like I said earlier, was caused because of interests in Addis Ababa, particularly the interest of Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed himself. Unless there is a constitutional means in place to limit the power of the Prime Minister and his growing power from time to time, or if there is a constitutional means to get him out of office, I don't think this problem is going to be resolved immediately, because since he came to office, he has been opening conflict after conflict in order to consolidate his power. Like the Saleh Jane is now trying to say it, you know, a dangerous precedent of making this conflict like Oromo against Amhara. The Prime Minister himself is trying to make this conflict something of Oromo against Amhara, which is a very dangerous path. But let me say one point before I finish. This repeated claim from Amhara nationalists about Tigray. Tigray has already been disarmed. There is no threat of whatsoever for Amhara region from Tigray. African Union is already satisfied about disarmament in the Tigray region. Listen to Amhara nationalists, especially your guest here, the Saleh Jane. Whatever he talks is not about Amhara region. It's about territorial claim in Tigray, territorial claim in Benishangul, territorial claim in Oromia, and this is a major fuel in the ongoing conflict in Ethiopia, and that is why it is so problematic to resolve it immediately. But this problem, round of conflict is taking the country into...
Okay, Atana, we're just going to have to wrap up now. So I want to bring Desalegn in for one final word. How would you like to finish this?
The solution is that the federal government should, at least for the short term, retract its decision to dismantle the Amhara Special Forces, and there should be consultation with the Amhara Special Forces members, with Amhara people, and with the Ethiopian regions. For example,
in Amhara regions, the command people, even the Tigray, the neighboring Benishangul Gumuz, what kind of guarantee can you give for neighboring people being invaded by Amhara forces daily, on daily basis? Just 2 days
there
ago,
is no invasion, Itana. There is no any invasion by the Amhara forces.
The command people suffering from invasion, violence of Amhara forces, the territorial claims of Amhara government. What kind of guarantee would you give to people under threat from Amhara groups within Amhara region and beyond Amhara region? There are
we're going to have to leave it there. I'm really sorry. We've run out of time. We really appreciate all of your input. Thank you to all three of our guests, Kamal, Hashi Mahmood, Atana Dinka and Desalegn Chani. Thank you very much for being on Inside Story today. And thank you too for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Tom McRae, and the whole team here, bye for now.